Manuscript Releases, Volume 12, Numbers 921 to 999. M.R., Number 947. Letter to Emma Weber.
Dear Sister Weber, I wish to speak with you particularly. Last night, my guide opened before me some things in regard to you, Sister Emma, in connection with Dr. Douse. The Lord gave me words to speak to you both, but to you especially. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and grace shall be given you. You are not able to walk alone in the sparks of your own kindling, for if you do not place yourself under the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness, that they may shine into your heart and expel all selfishness, all worldliness, you cannot be a light to the world. You are not cultivating piety and a meek and quiet spirit through the grace of Christ. You need to cultivate human sympathy and love. You are too cold. You hold yourself aloof from others, while circumstances and opportunities are granted you every day to represent the character of Jesus. You worry too much. The blessings that come to the world must come through the living, human agents, which must work harmoniously with the heavenly instrumentalities. Submission to God and tender affection are not natural with you, and these graces you greatly need and must have in order to represent Jesus Christ. All blessings flow to us through the medium of the cross, and we have need to cherish sympathy, which is so largely revealed in the character of Jesus Christ. Let love be an abiding principle of the soul, and it will be revealed. You need to guard your words, to be cheerful. Your very countenance may express the Jesus Christ abiding in your soul. Your words will be after Christ's order, because you have the mind of Christ. I was saying to you with intensity of feeling, Emma, God will be found of you when you seek Him with all your heart. He will be found of you. Then you can with words, in patience, forbearance, long-suffering, and gentleness, diffuse the love of Jesus. Catching His Spirit, you can shine as a steady, bright light to all that are around you. But you are in danger because you are losing the precious grace of the Spirit of the Master. You are becoming too much absorbed in temporal matters and allowing these business matters to have the supremacy and quench the love of God, which should be exercised toward those who need it. You need to take a decided interest in religious meetings. You have no strength to keep yourself under the sharp assaults of the enemy. You are kept by the power of God through faith. Make earnest and determined efforts to be to every meeting possible. The divine direction is, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. See Hebrews 10, verse 25. You are to be found among the little few who meet to worship God. The help of every soul who loves the truth is needed to bear testimony of the truth and act as missionaries of God, home missionaries, to strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. Every jot of influence from Christ's soldiers is now called for on the Lord's side. Where two or three are assembled together in my name, there am I in the midst, and that to bless. See Matthew 18, verse 20. Then, if we allow ourselves to be hindered by supposed excuses, the enemy will have a hand in creating circumstances so that we shall not be present where Jesus meets to bless His worshipers. We must not be careless and negligent in exercising faith, in maintaining a principle to be in the assembly of the saints and be the Lord's witnesses, and have a testimony to bear that is uplifting, full of courage and hope and victory. ask at every step, "Is this the way of the Lord?" You can shape your business so that it shall not become all-absorbing and you grow away from Jesus and lose sight of His attractive loveliness. Darkness and want of faith create a sickly religion, a waning piety, and in no case can you represent Jesus Christ in your character. Jesus' voice of invitation is heard. "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, not a yoke that you have manufactured, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." See Matthew 11, verse 28, 29. Take all your temporal concerns to Jesus. Prayer in regard to temporal things is an expression of confidence and trust in God. As a child has confidence and trust in its earthly parents, you acknowledge God as your Father. As His child, you tell Him your needs, and how sweet to the Christian is this trusting faith. You can say, "I have laid down all my burdens at the feet of Jesus. I have committed myself without reserve into His care. He has me in charge. I am not my own. I am bought with a price. He is infallible in wisdom, omnipotent in power, and infinite in knowledge. He must and will give me His wisdom." May the Lord help and strengthen you. My sister, you can and are in danger of giving a wrong example to Dr. Dowse, and both of you are in a fair way to backslide from God and become nominal religionists. In the position of responsibility that you are both in, you need the grace of Christ that you may lift the cross daily and overcome many things. Every day, let the pen of the recording angel trace the words in your behalf: victory over the deceptive powers of Satan. Satan would have you both lose your hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ, but you must not allow him to do his will with you. Kindle your taper from the divine altar and shine as lights to the world. God can give Dr. Dowse wisdom and skill in her profession if she will cling to Him and make God her strength. You are both situated where the Lord requires that you constantly work with Him. Then you will both be a blessing wherever you are. A godlike, holy purpose must be kept ever in view. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? See Mark 8, verse 36. Keep the soul right. Let this be the language of the soul. I believe in God, in His providence, in the Bible, and in truth and clearness of purpose. I cannot, I will not, swerve one jot from my duty and the claims that the Lord has upon me. I cannot, I dare not, sacrifice in the least degree my vital interest in holy things in order to gain relief from the pressure of temporal embarrassment. I will wait any time, walk humbly with God, walk in meekness, in humility, in simplicity of soul, till the Lord gives me success and victory in His own time and way. My motto must be, God is my strength, my wisdom, my all. Without me, says Christ, ye can do nothing. Then do not try to meet the world's standard. You want the treasures of heaven. You want the crown of life that fadeth not away. If the Lord prepares the way before you, then you may walk in safe paths, and you will have the peace of Christ. Satan will have no power over a soul who is emptied of self and imbued with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Jesus will help you in His own way, not in your way. Under the power of unbelief, you may obtain relief in your way and blot your own character. Pray, let your heart be drawn out in earnest prayer for the Lord to help you in and under every pressure of circumstances. Do all you can, putting your trust in God. He will help you both. But you can, and should, be a much greater help to Dr. Douse than you have been. How? I will stand upon my watch, and set me upon the tower, and will watch, with prayer, to see what he will say unto me. See Habakkuk 2, verse 1. Do not be anxious to make a great figure in the world, for if you do, you will make a small one. You must feel your need of richer blessings than temporal ones. Serve the Lord heartily. Gather to yourself the sunshine of Christ's countenance. You are responsible for the impression you leave upon the minds of those with whom you are brought in contact. In seeking any temporal advancement, your faith in holy, sacred truth will impose upon you moderation of desire and repress all inordinate ambition. Do not allow ambition for greatness to make you indifferent to goodness. You must, and will, if a Christian, win the respect of believers and unbelievers. You need the love of Jesus in your heart, then you will love all for whom Christ has died. Be universally kind, because Christ was kind. You will make your life fragrant with tender love and will give to all the milk of human kindness. A sour word will not answer because you misrepresent Jesus. Much wisdom and strength, prudence and patience are essential. Do not venture to be domineering, but be kind that you may succeed upon religious principles which will call into exercise the graces in the character of forbearance, self-denial, and resolution to resist temptation. In all your work, in all your words, there is a witness, one who says, I know thy works. Depend upon God and all that God has promised. Bring into your daily life the warmth of love. You are cold and distant to many, but it will not pay. My grace is sufficient for you, is the promise. Wake up, Sister Weber, and when you come near to God, he will draw near to you. Wake up and feel that God will help you. Let it be the language of your soul. He must increase. I must decrease. Put me and I just where they belong, and lift up Jesus. Talk of Jesus. If he does not lie at the foundation of all your plans, if your eye is not single to the glory of God, and yourself obedient to all his requirements, keeping eternal realities in view, you are on the losing side.
Take no more upon you than you can bear, pleasantly and kindly toward all. When you have not strength and the help of one who is all-sufficient to carry you and your burdens, then your burdens oppress you. Christ declares his yoke to be easy and his burden light. Through Jesus Christ you can wear the yoke gracefully. If you exalt yourself, then you will place yourself where it will be necessary for the Lord to abase you. If you humble yourself at every step, Jesus will lift you up. But let Jesus do all the lifting up, and remember that Jesus always bears the heavy end of the yoke. Then, if you are laborers together with God, you have a divine helper at every step. You can be in the world and not be of the world, pure in heart, full of the milk of human kindness, keeping the way of the Lord, to do justice and love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Let every page in your life work be fresh and pure and clean in the morning. Then keep your heart uplifted to God, breathing out your prayer to him for guidance, for the upholding by his free spirit. Pray for wisdom that comes from above,
that the angels of God may be by your side to help you. You see not in life the end of human actions. Their influence never dies. Every morning, bear in mind that you are sowing seeds which will bear fruit to life eternal or to death. If you are in a position where you can mold others, you want first to be molded by the Lord Jesus. Then you can be a vessel unto honor. The sphere in which you act may not be large, but you are transmitting impressions that may be for good through the ceaseless ages of eternity. The blessing of God resting upon you will repeat itself by being reflected upon others, and in their turn, they may reflect the same upon others. The good that you may do, if your life is hid with Christ in God, will not be buried with you. You may, if you walk humbly with God, bring many sheaves to the Master. Be sure that your advance be in the highest heavenly direction, else it is no advance in truth and righteousness. You are to feel that in God's providence you are placed where you are to be beacons of light to the world. But the Lord has opened to me that you need the transforming grace of God upon your own soul. You may both be as beacon lights upon a hilltop, illuminating the moral atmosphere around you. Your golden words may drop as the dew and as the soft showers of rain upon the tender herb. You may be examples. You may help other feet to tread the royal path to heaven, the path cast up for the ransomed of the Lord to walk in. A Christian life is a living reality, for it is constantly reproducing itself. Please remember that you have not to do only with business matters, but with minds, differently organized minds. Your influence reaches the soul. You touch not a wire, but that vibrates back to God. You have a personal influence. Your words, your actions, leave their trace on other minds. It is your duty to be Christians in the highest sense of the word, Christ-like. It is through the unseen lines that attract you to other minds with which you are brought in contact that may, if you are in constant connection with God, leave impressions that will make you a savor of life unto life. Otherwise, if you are selfish, if you are self-exalted, if you are worldly-minded, no matter what your position, no matter what your experience has been, or how much you know, if you are not having the law of kindness on your lips, sweet fragrance of love springing from your heart, you can do nothing as it ought to be done. You want to come closer to hearts, never to merely touch the hand you take with the tip ends of your fingers, and in a lifeless way saying, "Stand off, don't come too near me, I am better than thou." Let heartiness come into your life and be revealed in your connection with those whom God has valued so highly as to give his own life that they might live with him through eternal ages. White Estate, Washington, D.C., October 27th, 1982.